Okay. Start with your name, age.
My name is Matilde. I am 29 years old.
And where were you born?
I was born in the north of Italy, but I've always lived here in Roma because my parents are from Veneto. My mom's from Padova and my dad's from Venice. My dad's actually half English, half Italian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm going to try to do this too. I've been having problems with this, but it's not good. Gilda explained the project to you?
Well,
do you get a general sense of the project?
Or
I can describe a little bit more.
Please describe it, yeah.
So the book is called Rome Eats Rome, Roma Mangia Roma. Interviews with about 30 or 35 people that live in the city of five generations to understand their attitudes towards food, how they eat, a general sense of the relationship to food historically and now for each one of them, and through those stories to understand how things are changing, what's happening in the city, using food as a lens through which to understand a lot of other issues, contemporary issues. And specifically in Rome, there's this 2,000-year-old or more tradition of food that you can compare side by side to an industrial food complex that's arriving. So it's one of the few big cities in the world where you can look at both of these two at the same time, see these traditions still on the surface, and this entry of this kind of industrial American food system that is threatening it in some way. But also I think what's special about Rome is there's also this this tradition. You can go way back to this city of 1 million inhabitants of ancient Rome 2,000 years ago, where a lot of issues that we think are contemporary, food challenges with food, like food miles, like shipping food across the world, the Romans were doing that 2,000 years ago. They were getting their seafood from Great Britain. They were getting their
grains.
So in Rome in particular, it's about food. It's about the city of Rome, but it's not really about either. It's about the relationship between the two. And it's specifically through stories from people who live here now. And if there are five generations, you can imagine the different stories you get from someone in their 90s about their memories in the 20s of how they ate. And then, you know, interviewing a 20-year-old today, like what their attitudes towards food are and how that's affected by their peers and how it's affected by their grandparents, you know. And it's not a book about food in the most precious sense. It's about how people are living and using food as a way to understand that.
Okay.
But we'll just ask specific questions and then you can respond. So you don't have to worry about that. But
okay. Yeah.
But maybe it would be good to start with a typical question we start out with to get you thinking about the past is your first memory of food. Earliest memories, and you don't have to think about it too much, just the very first thing that comes to your head is usually probably it.
For example, what is your first memory when you was a child?
Eating yogurt, but
something that you really love that still stands out, yeah. You know?
Yuto, this is a hard one because I have a relaxed relationship, I think, with food. I mean, I am omnivorous. I'm not a picky person. And
is there any particular dish or food that stands out from your childhood that you particularly remember, like your parents making or eating at school or
maybe I'm very it's not very Italian maybe, but with crepes I I have a very, it's something that I really love, and I have in my memories of, like, we had dinners, my mom would make, and my grandmother would as well, just make crepes, sweet crepes for dinner. So it was like a dinner party when we just had sweet crepes instead of having pasta or a real dinner. Maybe that's something.
Maybe the reason you remember it is because it's so unusual. I can't imagine.
Yeah, it was really unusual to have, like, it was a special days when we would have only crepe, like with jam for dinner.
Instead, so why would they do that?
It's not an English tradition.
No, no, and it's my. It was my mom's mother that would do that, and she's from, she's actually from Friuli, from the northeast of Italy. Hi.
But where did you grow up? Here in Rome? Or?
I grew up in Rome. Yeah. I did.
And did you live here or in another house?
I've always lived in this house. Always lived in this house.
So, for example, who did do foods?
Well, my mom always cooked, yeah.
And what is your daily eating, for example?
Ooh.
You start in the morning.
When you were younger, you mean?
Yeah, when you do at school, for example. Try to describe a typical day.
Well, breakfast was something very important, when we'd have cereals and milk and cereal, and then I've always had lunch at school, so I've never...
Here. At the American school?
At the English school, yeah. English and school. Even in the Italian school, I did a full-time school, so we would have lunch.
Do you remember what those lunches were like?
The school lunches were horrible.
At both schools?
At both schools, yeah. I remember it always being something not nice.
Like what kind of things would it be?
There was a famous mud soup that was lentil soup that we renamed mud soup because it. And
at what time did you have lunch at school?
Around 12:31. Actually, I remember we had in the English school the first course was passed by the school, and then we were supposed to bring our little lunch from home. I remember my mom not packing me lunch very often, and or maybe this is a memory I had, but I remember nicking other kids' food because my mom would just pack me maybe a sandwich, and the other kids had fantastic cooked cotolette or meaty second plates. And I remember even eating everybody else's food that they didn't want to eat, like... being kind of the garbage can of the situation.
And then after lunch, you'd go home for dinner. Do you remember what a typical dinner was like when you were growing up?
Dinner was, pasta. I must say I have a... We'd always eat pasta. I've always really not been, as I told you, picky about things. Instead of my mom having to fight with my brother, who was always instead, if it was a red pasta, if it was pasta with tomato sauce, he was only eating pasta with butter and parmesan. And if she cooked the butter and parmesan pasta, he would always, his favorite was instead the tomato pasta. See, it's raining. Shall we?
Such a stereotype that all Italians are obsessed with food, and that all Italians are obsessed with food, and all the stories we have, like, everyone talks about food all the time, food's the biggest part of our life, blah, blah, blah. And to have a point of view that isn't that is fine too. Like,
exactly.
Well, so it's important to have, you know, just a real account of whatever relationship that you had, or, you know. So, for example, dinners again. How were? What was a typical dinner? Who was there? Who cooked? And what did you usually eat?
Well, I remember mainly like pasta was the easiest, I think, and it was the easiest thing. It was my mom always cooked. My dad's not a very good cook. I mean, he's actually a very good cook, but he only cooks like two things: risotto and what are they called? Not involtini. Involtini, those like meat rolls, yeah, with the, so two very elaborate plates, but he could, oh, and scrambled eggs with the scrambled eggs. So when my mom wasn't around, he would cook scrambled eggs. Then sometimes when it was a special occasion, he would make risotto and involtini. But if not, my mom would cook, and she'd cook, yeah, pasta and roasts and polpettone. Polpettone is something I've always loved my mom made.
For example, where did you start to cook something?
I started...
Wait, just to go back to the dinner thing. So were you sitting at this table? Were you in...
Well, not in this house in particular, but just the house above.
Okay, yeah. I see. And who was at dinner?
It was me, my mom, my dad, and my brother. It's the four of us.
So you'd have family dinner
every night? Yeah, every night, yeah.
Do you remember what time?
Early-ish, I think around 8:30. Depending on... Because my mom... She has been a continuity for working in the cinema for many years, and when she'd work, I remember her coming home and having to cook for us pasta if she wasn't working until too late.
So she was working when you were growing up.
Yeah, she was. We've had some help. I mean, we have had some help on and off. And I remember this man cooking for us as well, but not very successfully. And that's why my mom she went back onto cooking. Maybe she'd prepare things in the morning for the evening. Yeah, no. And she had a lot of trouble with my brother. I remember my brother being really obnoxious about food.
And is he older or younger?
He's younger. He's so, 2 years younger than me.
Because he was so difficult, you had to be easy.
Yeah, maybe. But
or not, because you were so easy, he had to be difficult.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
So, sorry, what was your question?
Now, when did you start to cook something?
Pretty young, I was about 12. I'd cook for my brother, I remember this, and for my dad. Yeah, when my mom wasn't at home, I'd take care of... I mean, I probably made my first pasta when I was about 11 or 12. I enjoy cooking. I mean, I enjoyed watching my mom cook, so from this, it came very easy and natural to just...
So you learned from her?
Yeah.
And where do you think she learned from?
From her mom.
And that grandmother, is she still around? Is she someone you had a relationship with?
Well, she's not with us anymore, but I've had a very, very good relationship. But she lived in the north of Italy. She lived in Padova. So I remember her in Rome when I was really, really small, because when my mom was pregnant of my brother, so I must have been one or two. I remember her with us and cooking for us and cooking for me and staying with me. And then we would go for summer holidays. We'd spend a lot of time with them, with my mom.
Do you remember what she would cook? Do you remember any of the meals?
Oh, yeah. Well, her sugo, her pasta with pomodoro, was her main... Yeah, my grandmother's pasta with pomodoro was incredible. Nobody ever cooked. I've never tasted, like, my mom always tries, but she never gets it that.
What made it so special? You remember what she did?
I think it was that a little tip of sugar she put in the pomodoro to take the acidity out of it, and that made it that just not sweet, but... very delicious.
So that was her main thing. Anything else you remember?
She cooked rabbit fantastically. I was thinking about it the other... I had rabbit yesterday for lunch, and it just didn't taste as nice as my grandma. And I thought, damn, I never asked her to teach me how to cook her.
So how was she in the kitchen? Do you remember watching her? Could you be in the kitchen while she was cooking?
Oh,
was
yeah. She very... No. She would let me help her out and maybe just grate the Parmesan cheese, or... I was basically grating the Parmesan cheese. Mm-hmm. But... yeah, she would let me be around. Her kitchen wasn't very big, but it was very comfortable. And I remember she had a very big trauma, because at a certain point when my grandfather had died, her children bought her a new kitchen. And so they renovated her kitchen, and she was pretty upset. She was like, now I have to learn again. It's 50 years I've been using my kitchen and you turn it upside down. Mm. I actually have her... I don't have an oven here, but I have a tiny little oven that used to be in her kitchen. Mm. That is an excellent little oven. It's just a scalda vivande, sì. But I can even roast chicken in it, so I'm pretty happy with it.
So do you get a memory or a sense of what her attitude towards food was? Was there anything particular about her attitude towards cooking and food that you think was particular, or that you inherited, or...
The cooking for us, because she had 6 children, and it was the nourishing. She was a mother, and her cooking was to... feed her children, and you could feel it, and she would always make very big amounts of food. My mom as well, she's really obsessed with when she has people for dinner, and I think I've inherited this too, to have this anxiety that there isn't enough food for everybody, so overcooking things. And it's very good, because then if you have a lunch or dinner on Saturday, then you're fixed for the Sunday lunch and dinner. And she's always, and we've always had, like, having this big garden and being so near the city, but, well, we are in the city, then people come, when they come here, it's like, oh, you live in the countryside. So it has this feeling of being in the countryside. We'd have huge Sunday lunches here with all their friends and their kids' friends. And there was, Sundays were huge lunches here, and my mom cooking from the morning for everybody. And
yeah, describe this location. Describe where we are.
We are in the southeast of Rome, and we're in the Parco della Piantica. So it's actually quite central. We are 4 miles out of the city walls. What gives it this sense of being in the countryside, I think, is because it's an archaeological area. So in the past 50 years, they haven't been building because it has been protected from construction. And so it's like a very big green tongue that comes from the Castelli towards the center of Rome.
Could you describe the garden?
The garden is it's an acre of land. Un ettaro is an acre, is it?
Mm-hmm.
An acre of land on which there is the house as well. So it's a big house divided into 3 houses where my mom and dad live. Me and my brother has a little apartment as well. This house has been, well, in our family, it was my dad's grandmother's house. She was a very eccentric English woman who fell in love with Rome just after the Second World War, and it was extremely convenient for them at the time to buy in Italy, so she decided she would live here. Well, she lived here 6 months, and then 6 months in England.
So that was
Saint Granny Dorothy that bought the house.
Amazing. So that was the other grandmother. So you had...
Yeah, the...
Do you have any memories of her?
Well, not of Dorothy, but of her daughter, so my granny Nancy.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she's a...
So your great-grandmother bought this house?
Yeah, great-grandmother. Oh my gosh. Granny Nancy instead was a absolutely non-cook. I think she never cooked in her whole life. Ever.
But she was British.
She was British, yeah.
Like Jackie Butch.
Yeah, she married to a Venetian man. Yeah, and I think that's why my dad as well has a terrible relationship with cooking, because he was really not accustomed to being in the kitchen. They always had nannies and cooks. And
in this house? He grew up in this house?
He grew up in Venice. He arrived here when he was 18, 19, and he lived in where I'm living right now, and there was people renting the house from my great-grandmother upstairs.
Oh my gosh. So then when you did start cooking, you said you enjoyed it?
Oh yeah.
And you were learning things from your grandmother and your mother?
Yeah.
And then did you slowly take over cooking from your mom? Or?
Yeah, I must say I was invested of the role of vice mother somehow, or at least the vice cooking mother, you know, like I would. And I still do. I mean, if my mom's not in Rome and my dad's upstairs by himself and I'm cooking a plate of pasta for me and Tomo, I will make an extra one for him and feed him too. There is a lot, this thing of, I feel this thing of feeding others with, and it's probably inherited by my grandmother and my mom.
Yeah. So this garden, the garden's been here for a long time. It's a vegetable garden, a kitchen garden?
Yeah, well, it has moved in the garden, but it's since I was small that my mom had a little plot. Mm-hmm. Just recently, since maybe 6 or 7 years, there has been more radical, like they've really put a lot of energy into. I mean, before it was, we'd had tomatoes and zucchinis, and it was more of a summer vegetable garden. Wintertime it was maybe some artichokes, but nothing like. Mm-hmm. Instead, since 6 or 7 years, they've been, both my mom and dad have been working on it.
So a lot of the food that you eat comes from there?
Less during the winter, because it is a harder garden to, I mean, a winter vegetable garden is somehow less productive somehow.
Yeah.
But during the summer, yes. I mean, we have trouble eating the tomatoes. We have to store them in like jars and for the winter time.
There's so many.
So many, it's incredible.
So does that mean, what kind of grocery shopping do you need to do aside than from what you get from the garden?
Like? Well, we buy the pasta and the meat and the bread. Mm-hmm. Actually, we've recently got one of these bread machines to make home bread.
Mm-hmm. And then where do you do the shopping?
Well, we have a little local supermarket just down the road. So I basically shop there, and it's the easiest thing to reach.
They even have chicken.
You have chickens too?
Well, yeah. Well, we have now one chicken. Oh. Poor thing. I think my mom...
It's a beautiful chicken.
Yeah, she's an Indian breed of chicken. She's a very big chicken. She's like...
My gosh.
This tall. There was a rooster as well, but he's had an encounter with the dogs, and he didn't survive that. I think this weekend my mom and dad were gonna go to see some friends in the countryside, searching for a new one, because she's so lonely. This chicken is really lonely. I mean, when people get close to this pen, she really comes like caw, 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 caw. and really appreciates you petting her. She's really
Oh, that's so sad.
Yes.
So can you explain a current typical day, like how you eat through the day, like from morning, breakfast, and a typical lunch, and a typical dinner through a day right now?
I still have I work in an office, so lunch is always very quick and
outside.
Yeah.
That morning, first thing when you get up?
First thing when I get up is coffee and milk. If I have time, I like making my cappuccino. If I don't, I just pour the milk. If it's winter, it's hot. If it's summer, it's cold. And I have toast if I have bread at home, or I enjoy a nice bowl of cereals and milk. For example, during weekends, if I have time, I have a longer breakfast, so I maybe cook eggs. I love having substantial...
Like American breakfast?
Yeah.
Did you have American breakfast at school? No, you went to British school.
Yeah, well, it was American-British school, but no, we never had... No, it wasn't breakfast, but I just enjoy eggs and bacon. And,
oh my gosh, yeah, that's
yeah.
Very American.
Yes.
Yeah, but the reason...
They put in waffles.
Yeah.
On the side.
Pancakes.
Yeah, I make pancakes on Sunday mornings, really? If I have time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, could you explain better the lunch during the week, for example, outside? Where do you go usually?
I try to change as much as possible because I really get bored of eating in the same places. Because, I mean,
every day. Where do you work?
I work in Prati.
So what kind of food you can find around?
We had a fantastic Sicilian bar that made some incredible Sicilian dishes. They just closed a few months ago. I was really upset.
For example?
Arancini? No. They had like insalata di polpo or spiedini di spatola. I know some very delicious things.
So you spend money to have lunch?
Yeah, but quite reasonable. I mean, it was never more than 6-7 euros a lunch. Now I'm really into the centrifuge. I'm feeding myself on centrifuge, so just...
What are those?
Centrifuge is...
Fresh pressed juice.
But it's not juice, it's like... It has everything in it because I just...
It's like vegetables and fruit that are pressed.
Orange and carrots and apples and melon
and
all crushed together.
Celery.
I don't like that in my...
Carrot.
I don't like the celery. And the carrots have to be well cleaned because I don't like the taste of the carrot skin if it's not properly cleaned.
do you eat, for example, the pizza at lunch or?
In the beginning, like I've been working there since 11 months, and in the beginning it was the thing I ate most, the pizza. But I was turning into a squared pizza, so I moved to something else. It was much cheaper to eat a slice of pizza. But I at a certain point, no, it was like, apart from being boring at a certain point, because, I mean, yeah, they have a lot of different types of pizza, but once you've had it for a whole week, the same thing, it's...
And then now, typically for dinner, what is the typical dinner ritual?
Beppo Tomo, that is Japanese, that cooks Japanese.
Oh, really?
Well, he's actually... always been, he's lived in Italy for 7 years now, and he had worked in an Italian restaurant in Tokyo before coming.
What?
Oh.
So, yeah. So he's an excellent pasta cook. Well, he was a assistant cook.
Yeah.
But he had, I mean, he could dish up a good plate of pasta.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was, yeah, I found it very useful for him to know. It's quite funny because he still does, he has a very funny concept of mixing ingredients together, like that for an Italian would be like, what are you doing? Like, he cooked a pasta with salmon and gorgonzola the other day, and I was like, ooh. That is something that an Italian would never do.
No.
Like, put fish and cheese together is like heresy. I actually wasn't, I mean, it was very strong. It was salmon, zucchini from the vegetable garden, and gorgonzola. I told him maybe without the gorgonzola it would have been even nicer, but I appreciate his creativity.
So he cooks for dinners usually?
Well, he has been in the past year, yeah, because I always get back pretty late from work. So, yeah, he does cook.
So what are the range of things that he prepares?
Well, pasta, if he's working as well, he'll cook pasta, because pasta is quite a quick thing to dish up. And if not, we eat. He cooks a lot of rice too. We buy rice, and we have a rice cooker, a Japanese rice cooker, and that's very convenient because you just put it in, and after 45 minutes, it's done without you having to do anything.
So he'll prepare typical Japanese dishes, or is it some weird international fusion that you eat?
I think it's very, yeah, it is fusion, yeah. Because he'll maybe make...
So there's nothing typically Japanese and there's nothing typically
Italian.
It's like some weird mix.
I would say so. I mean, then you can feel when it's more Italian or more Japanese. I mean,
you don't put soy sauce on your pasta?
No.
Like that.
No. Okay. I put soy sauce maybe in the salad. I use less...
Less salt?
Yeah, I use less salt in my salad and prefer the soy sauce. But no, we don't put the soy sauce in. I don't know, maybe he does and I've never discovered.
Maybe. Tomato sauce.
No.
So are there any, what is it like being in a household when there's a Japanese food tradition and an Italian food tradition? Do you feel like there's any conversation between the two, or...
Conversation.
Do you get a sense that there's two culinary traditions coming together, or?
I think so. I've always thought that they're extremely different, but being very strong culinary traditions, they do. Yeah, they have come in.
I mean, do you ever try to prepare anything Japanese?
I always do, but it's a terrible disaster. Which was it, the nabe?
No, era tipo un pentolone.
Yeah, that's something we do in the winter time. When we, there's this... Ah, el sukiyaki, okay. Yeah, I do try, but it always... The thing is that ingredients for cooking Japanese are very hard to find, and even if you find things that might be similar, like we go vegetable hunting in Piazza Vittorio, where there's a lot of Chinese and exotic vegetables.
Eastern food.
Yeah, where we try to find... Like, they have these rape... Turnips. The Japanese turnips are these really long white turnips. And you can find them in Piazza Vittorio, but they're not the Japanese ones. So the taste they have makes everything
different.
Yeah. So maybe it looks Japanese, but then when you taste it, oh, Tomo's always, yeah, but you can taste it's made by
the same thing.
Yeah. We actually tried to grow the turnips. I brought some seeds of turnip seeds, of Japanese turnip seeds, to grow in our garden, but they came extremely tiny. And the taste was pretty good, but the size wasn't. We'll try next year, because I think we had to move the soil more so that they had more space to grow, because being a root, they need very soft, airy soil, to like carrots, I think. We've never tried the carrots.
Do you guys ever eat fast food?
Yeah.
So what? What and when?
It's quite important to explain that Maddie lives for a long time in England, because she is studying.
Yeah.
And so maybe you can explain,
but,
for example, when you move in England.
Yeah, but I think the fast food comes from actually my mom.
Oh, okay.
Because she lived for a year in and had mid-70s in the States. She did she was an exchange student in Illinois. And when we were kids and McDonald's opened for the first time in Rome, she went crazy. I know it's horrible to say nowadays, like, but in the mid-80s, it was, for Italians, like, culinary revolution. I mean, being able to get a burger was something that was quite incredible.
I remember, for example,
there was a queue in
many kids
all the time in McDonald's. It
for
was
the
like
birthday.
The best birthday
it's
place
incredible.
To have.
Amazing.
A party. Everybody with chicken McNuggets and burgers.
Yeah,
and
because it's exotic food.
And these kids running like crazy into McDonald's.
Incredible.
McDonald's in the end of the 80s had even like a kind of babysitting service. They would have like some people making kids draw, and moms could just drop the kids off there and have them have a meal and then just draw and color and play games.
So which one are you, which where was it located?
The one Piazza where we Spagna. Were well the Piazza Hispania was the first one, and I remember that was the first McDonald's. Well, actually, the first McDonald's I had was in the States. We went into the States when I was like maybe 4 or 5 with my mom. And McDonald's was something incredible. I mean, I remember driving through California, and me and my brother, every time we saw a yellow M, we're like, McDonald's! instead, in Piazza di Spagna was the first one we went to. And then they opened one in Eur that is not far from here. And that's where I remember being dropped off in the afternoons when my mom was going shopping, and she'd just drop us off there. And I don't remember if she dropped us off, but she was always there, but we were really happy to go. Then I was vegetarian for part of my life. I was vegetarian from when I was 18 to 20. And I had all this against McDonald's and the, you know.
So why did you decide to be vegetarian?
Partly for love, because the biggest love of my life was a vegetarian, and I thought to be with him was, it wasn't right to eat meat, and I thought that it. And then actually, I found my body responding much better to not eating meat.
And was that really unusual at that time as an Italian not to be vegetarian?
It was hard for like my mom's family. My mom was, she hated me, because she was like, oh, now what will I cook for you, you know, like. Luckily it was a moment when I went to England, so she didn't really have to cook for me very much, and the family I lived with in England two of the kids were vegetarians, so I found it easy to even learn how to eat non-meat. But it was always, I remember it always being like...
The struggle.
Yeah, for other people especially. Right. Because for me it was okay, I would just not eat. But then I would feel other people having trouble with me, like, oh, what should I feed you, you know?
And then how did you stop being vegetarian? How did you start?
I stopped being vegetarian when I went to the States. I worked in Massachusetts for a summer as a nanny for this family who'd waste so much food that I was just, no, this is impossible. I mean, food, you can't just throw soft crab like that. So I started eating fish. I started eating fish again there because I was really like, no, you can't do this. I mean, there was these incredible dishes of really expensive food that would just be chucked away because, you know, the next day you'd have to cook some more. And there I said, you know what? I mean, I'll eat anything as long as you don't. The waste of food really
bothered you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After that, though, it took me a long time to go back to eating red meat because then after that summer I went to India for 2 months and there I just ate vegetarian again, because it's just easier. I mean, you don't really eat a lot of meat around there. Well, not in the north of India, at least. And then I slowly introduced meat back. I love meat. So
yeah.
I remember when I was a vegetarian dreaming about steaks. Yeah. And prosciutto crudo. I love prosciutto crudo.
And could you explain your impact with English culture when you moved in London to study?
Yeah, we didn't really live in London. We lived in a little village out of Cambridge. I must say I was really lucky.
You were 15?
No, 17. 17, 8, turning 18. End of my 17s. I was really lucky because I lived with this phytotherapist who was really, she really was aware of food, and for an English person I thought it was quite extraordinary. Two of her four kids were vegetarians, and they were like vegetarians since birth, basically. They just refused to eat meat since they were kids. And so, I mean, compared to many of the other people that were in school with me, I found myself quite lucky to have found that kind of food situation there. It was...
Could you explain for a daily eating in England? You start breakfast
with toast and a cup of tea with milk, and
then toast with cheese and ham, or
cheese and tomatoes. Well, I was vegetarian then.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, cheese and tomatoes. She had a fantastic sandwich toaster, and those that make the triangles.
And did you have lunch at school? Or?
Yes, unluckily. The canteen was...
It was my host mom.
Gilda's host mom was the canteen lady.
She was from the Philippines and had no idea. She made some amazing spring rolls, but anything else would be needing.
Yeah, no, the canteen was horrible. I don't remember eating at Impington, I must tell the truth. Oily things and...
Did you skip the lunch at school and you
would eat outside? Oh, yeah, we'd go buy those fantastic sandwiches. Yeah, we found Nadia's. That was this sandwich place where you could just, like, decide... They had, like, tons of ingredients and you could
Yeah, but that was late. In the beginning, we never went.
And for example, could you describe a typical lunch at school?
A typical lunch in the canteen?
Yeah. This horrible canteen.
They have... Yeah, and you know what? They had those, like... They tried to make that English... What is it? Mince pie? I remember that. With the mince meat... Shepherd's pie. Mince meat and...
potatoes.
Yes, mashed potatoes on top. Crust, like... It's something that is... I think it's one of the only traditional English dishes they have. And they could make it greasy.
Mm.
It was greasy. I remember grease. I don't remember... things of the...
Did you ever search out Italian food when you were there? Did you ever feel like you needed to find Italian food at a certain time?
Yes, we would go to this... But we'd always have, like, paninis, as the English call them.
But we had a house the next year, me and Kat and this other girl, we left the host family, and we would cook at home.
So what
we
what
rented
an
apartment, so they would come and always say what needed to be cooked and how.
Oh, yeah.
We had massive fights.
Yeah, me and Jada fought over how to cook a plate of pasta.
And we were 16 and we were like really like...
Oh, so at that age you were trying to prepare Italian food for yourself in England?
Oh yeah.
And
I would prepare it for my host family too, like once a week or twice a week.
Did you have trouble finding ingredients?
No, not really. I think
Well, those tomatoes that don't taste of anything in England. Mm.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, you could find the ingredients. The taste was always a bit...
Yeah.
Sure. But you could just maybe... I remember the trick was putting a little bit of basil in so that it would give you that little... It would give you a bit of a freshness. I think basil really does the trick when you're not in Italy. Because that has the same taste everywhere, and when you add it, it's just that.
So then, going forward to today, is there any, what's your habits in terms of going out? Do you go out to eat ever for dinner when you're not making it here? Is there some relationship that you have to, like, local restaurants, local trattoria, like Cucina Romana, any of that?
And lately I've, in the past two, three months, I have been eating out quite often.
So where do you go?
Well, I've discovered and I adore this fish restaurant, It's a pescheria. It's on a side street of Tiburtina, and it's a pescheria, so where they sell, it's a fish shop. And the sons of the fish shopkeeper made a small bistro inside of the pescheria, and they have they serve raw fish, so and carpaccio, but in a very Italian way, not a Japanese style.
They are Romans.
And why do you like to go there?
Because I love eating fish.
And you go together and he likes eating fish?
Well, no, I actually don't go with Tomo. He loves eating fish, but we're going through a bit of a tough moment in this period of our lives, so now I take it as my own treat to go.
And for you, one question we often ask too is, what is Cucina Romana? What is that for you?
Cucina Romana. Carbonara and matriciana. That's
like, either you could describe what your associations are with it, what you think it is, like what qualities it has, or particular dishes you associate with it, or what your relationship with it is.
You could answer that you're not interested in it.
But I am, because I do, when I find a good trattoria, there's a very nice place I've actually discovered next to my office that is Trattoria dell'Angelo.
Mm.
That is just a very traditional trattoria romana.
Via Angelico. No,
yeah, it's a una traversa di Via Angelico. I love cucina romana. It's more of a child, like a teenage. I have it in mind as when I went out with the first times I went out to the restaurant, we'd go to trattoria romana because it was cheap and you'd eat and you'd have a nice, not nice, but a glass of wine. So it's, I associate it with a younger part of my going out for dinner. But there are a few, I always enjoy having a plate of carbonara or matriciana or even involtini, bollito. Oh no, I love, and even all the fegatelli, all the innards that you eat in the tradition of Roman cuisine.
And do you cook Romans food in traditional way or?
Well, carbonara is one of my hit pastas, especially when I'm abroad, because people are like, wow.
Did you have a special?
When I go to Japan, I travel with my Parmigiano. I bring my Parmigiano from Rome. Oh yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Well,
that's amazing.
Because that's something bacon you'll find anywhere else. It's not the same, but bacon's bacon. Maybe it's not affumicato like we find it here, but you just add a little bit of pepper and. But if the Parmesan is Parmesan, then the carbonara will be a carbonara. Yeah, and that's.
So how much do you bring? Like a separate bag full of Parmesan? No.
No, but.
Like one big piece.
A big piece.
Wow.
When we go to Japan, I always bring cheese and ham, and I'm not sure you're allowed, but I do. I stick it into my luggage and hope that they won't find it at the customs. Because you can find Parmesan there, and it's probably even real Parmesan, but it's so expensive that you're just, you can't. And it's something that I find as a gift to family in Japan and friends in Japan, always very appreciated more than anything else, like some nice prosciutto or a nice bit of formaggio fresco.
And what are the Japanese impressions of Italian food, do you think?
Oh, they adore. They totally are nuts about it. But I think it's because there is a very strong tradition, both in Italy and in Japan, of food. For Japanese food is extremely important, probably more than Anglo-Saxon cultures. And there is a... So in somehow this is why they are, I feel this is why they are fascinated and appreciate Italian food, because you can feel the depth of the culinary culture.
There's probably a lot of tastes in Italian food that just don't exist in Japanese culinary tradition, so they're all very exotic, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, and even the way I think we eat, for them... Well, Japanese have this thing that they have, their meal is like all different little tastes that they decide how to eat according to their taste. So, and they have like the basic, the rice, and then the salt, and the tinging,
the wasabi.
The pickles. They have a lot of pickles in their food. I sottaceti. And instead, and they are fascinated by, instead we eating a first, an appetizer, a first course, a second course, and the contorno, and the dolce. And they find extremely incredible how long we can sit at the dinner table or at a lunch table. They are very quick. I mean, they eat quite a lot, but they are quick. And they won't really sit for more than 40 minutes at a table. So when they find you sitting at a table for 3 hours for a meal, they're like, how do you do that?
That is really funny.
But it is true, don't you agree, that we just spend so much time at the table? I mean, even in a more morbid way somehow. I mean,
that's incredible. That's great. I was almost thinking, magari si fa un'intervista anche con lui.
Con Tomo?
No, è vero, non dopo un'intervista.
I have a last question. Last question. What is the role that you gave at the food in general in your life? Because I know that you love cooking and etc. But I have the impression that you have not a lot of time to dedicate it to cook. And
lately I haven't. Well, no, lately it's true, I haven't had much time.
Lately, but you always have family.
So what does food mean for you?
I think that I associate food to friends and dinner part, like having people around to cook for. This is something I associate food to. I must say I won't cook for myself if I'm alone. I will just nibble something and not really cook for myself, like a meal. But I really enjoy cooking a meal if I have friends over or family or even just Tomo. I mean, I do appreciate cooking for others more than for myself. But I must say, I have ups and downs about this. Like, there's been periods of my life where I was, like, even trying out and experimenting, and then periods in where I'm just like, okay, I buy those two things. I know I'm gonna cook my rice with the meat and onions, and or my pasta with pomodoro and tuna, and just very somehow boring
mm-hmm.
menus, or really repetitive.
And it's related with stability, for example, or this kind of wave or not? No.
Maybe.
For example,
maybe
in my experience where I have stable life and daily life, I'm dedicated more time and concentration to cook.
It's more of a moods.
It's more situational, it seems like.
Yeah, it's more how. Well, maybe, yeah, somehow stability. I'm not sure. I wouldn't really know how to.
And for example, do you love prepared table? Do you have some fissa per
setting the table?
Well,
I must say, Tomo is more of a.
Because it's strange, for example, I remember when I was a child and I went to eat with my grandma, etc. And she set an amazing table with a lot of plates and fork and knife and two glasses, one for water, one for wine.
When
I
was
totally
young,
lost this kind of tradition.
Now, when I was younger, I used to do that at my mom's. If I go for dinner, my mom often invites us for dinner upstairs, and because we don't really, we live in the same house, but we don't really see much of each other really, because I work and I come home late, and so dinner at is something that can like to see each other. And I do set the table for my mom, and she has very pretty plates and pretty glasses, so I do like to make it pretty if we don't just eat in the kitchen.
We've had an hour here, so maybe we should go outside and look at the garden.
Okay.
Magari facciamo quel foto su un cuscino della tua mamma.